Yes, rock and rolling back in here in this house, in this place, wherever you want to listen to us. Hey, your world, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let's do that again, Carolyn.
I thought you were going to go, and I'm a filmmaker, photographer.
But world, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe! Show. My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer. Sometimes I'm a musician. But today I am a podcaster. Across from me is one of the most notable people in all of North Virginia, D.C. Artistic, super creative. One of the greatest people I've ever met in my whole entire life. Her name is Karen Bolesky. How are you, Carolyn?
I'm doing good. I'm rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling!
Whoa.
That's right. But who? Speaking of rocking and rolling, speaking of getting crazy.
Getting cray.
Crazy. Who do we have in the studio today?
Oh my God. Speaking of getting cray, we're celebrating in the month of December. Usually we have him on the show for a special show we like to call KKK. That stands for Crazy Cooney Christmas.
Tradition. Tradition continues. Cooney, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Did we do this last year?
Yeah, we did. I don't know.
It might have been in January. I can't remember. We definitely have been doing it for several years, though.
Okay, well, at least it's, you know, at least it's ongoing instead of, like, skipping years or something. Like
yeah,
that,
so. I would have to look. honestly, I can't remember.
But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. Today we're celebrating the Crazy Cooney Christmas.
KKK Day on the Carolyn
Show. That's right.
Just to let you know, the Betty Toon Tumblr glass I'm drinking out of, it's chipped on the side. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Yeah, but you chose that one.
I know, but I'm just saying that, like, if you know you see it and you're like, oh, who used it? Oh, Cooney did. And it's like, oh, that fucking asshole.
Wait, did you chip it?
I did not chip it.
No, I knew I was aware of it, but thank you for pointing that out to me.
Okay, cool.
That's our only chipped glass that you happened to pick.
Did you try drinking out of that side? No, you did not try.
No,
you get hurt from that?
I'm sure I could get cut from it.
Maybe I'll disregard that glass.
But wait, it's the Carolyn's news.
Oh my gosh, it's time for my news. Yes, I can't wait. You guys, guess what? I have a promo code on my website that gets you 15% off anything you want now until the end of the year. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the promo code is... Get out your pens and pencils or thumbs and phones, please. The promo code is HOLIDAY15. If you go to www.carolynbolefsky.com/store, and you'll be getting some awesome stuff, man. There's some comics, shirts, button sets, all bunch of fun stuff, prints. So check out the store. I hope you find something that you like or that you want to give as a gift. It'll be an unexpected gift because people want to be surprised. So that's exciting. My first ever promo code on the internet.
That's the first one ever?
Yeah, I've never done it before.
Cooney, you've done a promo code, right?
No.
So Holiday 15, y'all. That's where it's at.
I'm surprised you didn't go like all the way and you didn't put like butt fart 15 or something.
I just wanted to keep it traditional.
All ages, man. All ages.
Yeah.
Keep it all ages.
I don't know if that's
like
my
an 8-year-old.
Fart.
Yeah. An 8-year-old would say
butt
fart.
What? As opposed to what fart? It's always going to be a butt fart.
Bird fart. Cow fart.
Out of what? It's still out of the butt. It's still out of the butt.
I know. But I'm still... I feel like that's for all ages, from 8 to 12.
I mean, kids do find farts very
funny.
They
love the farts and they like the burps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and adults like farts too. I mean, I don't think they go out of style.
I don't think they like smelling it, but I think people like talking about it.
Yeah.
Unless it smells like roses,
we should maybe talk about it since you mentioned it. Like, what are your favorite types of farts? Do you have a special type that you like?
I like the ones that kind of linger and sneak up on you and then just really attack you at the end of the day.
Wow.
It's like a stalker fart.
It is.
That's what it is.
It is. The creeper
hides
fart.
Hides in the shadows.
I've never talked about farts before.
Getting ready to attack.
I don't know
the
what happens. It's just like, it just kind of like the hot air just kind of comes up to your nostrils.
Is it really hot air?
I did hear that it was healthy to fart. Like, it's good for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To fart,
yeah,
at least, like, I don't know, 3 times a day or something.
Yeah,
they said that if you're doing that, that means that you're actually healthy.
Yeah, if you hold it in, I feel like all sorts of bad things happen. I mean, basically, you're just trapping gas in your body, so.
So let it out.
Yeah, you gotta let it out.
Yeah.
Just remember, t-shirt, next time, say, let it all out.
When they
out.
Say, like, let it go, let maybe it go. They're talking about farts.
Let it go.
That was what Frozen was all about.
So what's this show about today? Is there, you said...
Farts, Cooney.
It's about crazy Cooney Christmas, off, man.
Is it about Christmas? Is it about
It can be about anything you want it to be. We don't plan out our shows.
Well,
you're always here with some sort of agenda. You ask that question like you have something to talk about. What do you have to talk about, Cooney?
I really don't have much of an agenda this year.
You always have an agenda.
Let's start out with a basic question. Okay. Since we're narrowing down the end of the year.
Okay.
We have a few weeks left.
Thank you.
How was your 2015?
My 2015 has been pretty nice. It's been a little bit busy.
You wouldn't lie to us, would you?
No, but it's been pretty good, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's, would you tell us if it was bad?
I would tell
would you
if
like,
it was bad.
Yeah, it's been pretty shitty.
I would tell you if it's been pretty shitty.
So it's a good year for you.
Yeah.
Crazy Cooney Christmas?
It's pretty good. My little brother has some eye issues right now. He's got like a little bit
it's
of...
It's pretty good, and you go, my brother's has eye issues?
I mean, how do you say issue.
How do you put that next to each other? Oh, it's been a good year. My brother has some eye issues.
But it's been good for Cooney, maybe not been, so good for his brother.
Yeah, it's been great for me. It's just not been great for my little brother, which I feel like, you know, will somehow directly impact me later down the line, but, you know, I just feel like...
No, I see where you're getting at.
Yeah. I mean, it's been good for me, but, like, my brother's got some eye infection stuff. He's got to go through medication and all that kind of thing.
But you don't like to see him, like, struggle.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, how would I feel if I... I mean, I'm very... is it emphatic? Is mm-hmm. that the word?
So, basically, health-wise, you wish that your brother would... get better.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, we've been going through going to the ophthalmologist for a couple of times, my mom and I, and we've just kind of been monitoring his progress. He's autistic, so mm-hmm. it's very hard for him to communicate how he feels and what are his symptoms. So
how do you know when he's like not feeling so well?
I mean, just like as we saw, just like he's got red eye. And he's got some, you know, a little bit of discoloration on the side of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, we got to get to a doctor. And we went to the first one, and he was very nice, but he was very kind of hands-off and didn't really check too much. But we went to a new one, and then she was, like, really hands-on with Keone and just kind of, like, looking in his eye. She got a whole bunch of instruments and looked at it and put, a yellow dye to see whether or not there was any sort of staining.
Okay.
And then, so she... basically has him on antiviral and also an antibacterial medication. One's a drop and one's an ointment. So.
And how often does he have to put this in his eye?
Oh, it's 4 times a day.
Wow. Does he need help doing it or?
Oh no, he's dead set against having things in his eye. So, you know, it's either me, my mom, like, or his caretaker that he comes in for a couple hours.
Now, do you have to, like, strangle him on the floor and, like, drop it in
his eye?
No,
he's not that bad. Okay. It's just that he sits down and then he shuts his eye, like, really, like, you know, tightly shuts his eye. So you have to basically just kind of, like...
open it up.
Yeah, open it up a little bit. But then once you open up a little bit, he kind of cooperates.
Okay.
But we're trying to figure out whether or not if it's working or if it's not working.
Hmm.
And then one of the things is I know he's got a little bit of eye sensitivity because his eye is infected. So
mm-hmm.
So basically, I just kind of wanted to see whether or not, you know, he squints his eye because it hurts or he's been psychologically conditioned to be afraid of the eye dropper, you know. So it's hard to gauge his condition because you can't really... He's only been on the medication for a couple of days, so I don't know how much of a physical, like a visual progress.
Yeah.
He might be getting.
Did
but
the doctor say how long it would take to notice any adjustments?
I don't know. We're gonna go back on Monday, which is yesterday, airs
that's
on
right.
Tuesday.
That's right.
To see how that turns out. But anyways, I like that I'm talking a really long time about my brother's eye treatments.
Well, I mean, that's a
there's
concern
nothing wrong with
of
that.
Yours.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's real. If there's anything on the Carol and Joe show, is we're real and honest.
We're real.
Yeah.
So what else happened to you this year? Like, what were the highlights of your year? And also, did you start your year out with a resolution?
My resolution was actually to be a little bit healthier. and I've actually done
with
it.
With diet and exercise?
Or? More kind of, I wouldn't say like I count calories or anything like that, but I would say more like common sense stuff. Like, should I have that third donut?
No.
Oh, did you always eat a lot of donuts?
Like every...
How was your eating habits before that? Before you decided to make a change?
Yeah. Like every week and a half, 2 weeks, I would buy like 3 or 4 donuts and eat it all.
Wow. Really? By yourself?
Yeah.
What type of donuts are these?
French crullers from
I remember that. Yeah,
Those are good, man.
You're the one that made that acceptable in my lifestyle.
Because are they from Dunkin' Donuts?
You're like, that's not so, you know, you're like that. Yeah, this is the one that's the least unhealthy of them.
Yeah,
and least, like you eat it and you don't feel crappy.
Well, it's, I mean,
unless
like
you eat 3 of them, like you did.
I mean, like 40% of that French cruller is air, so. If you think about it, it's just...
Yeah, but that's not even ingredient. Like, they don't say, like, air.
I know. But
40%.
Like,
40% air. The rest juice.
I mean, I know what you mean, though. It's not as dense and...
But I've been kind of liking these, like, artisan donuts or these more of a gourmet donut kind of place. So, like,
where do you go?
There's a couple in Richmond that I like going to. That's...
So you go all the way down there?
Not all the
time. To get your donuts?
You're like, I need to get donuts.
But I work, I mean, like, in 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, I go down every, like, 3-4 weeks to
work. Have you ever done something like that? You're like, dude, I just got to go to Jersey to get this sandwich.
No.
No? You ever just literally took a vacation or left just to be like, I need to just get this in another state?
To get a particular item? Like a food item?
Yeah, a food item.
No, not really. Maybe I'll just go out of town just for the hell of it or something, but... But anyways, my resolution was to get better and to exercise a little bit more, and I've done it now, so...
That's good.
Yeah. Success.
And you've been kept keeping it up for 12 months.
And now in 2016, you can stop.
Yes.
Because that's what the resolution
was. Just let it all go.
The resolution was like, in 2015, I'm going to get in better shape. No one say anything about 16.
So have you noticed adjustments by canceling out that third donut?
Yeah. I mean, not just that, but I've been... I pretty much... cut out most of red meat out of my diet.
Okay.
And then also I've started like frying things less, mm-hmm. you know, and cutting back on specifics, and like when I drink coffee, I don't put like sugar or cream, like soy milk or anything anymore, additives. I just drink black coffee. And then I drink a lot of tea. I go to the tea store.
What type of tea do you like?
I have 2 oolong.
Okay.
And they're loose leaf teas that I put in.
In an infuser.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I have an oolong tea, which is really good. And I have a type called Tecano.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, yeah. There's a store called Tenren Tea in Bethesda or Silver Spring? Rockville, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And then they have like a whole bunch of like huge jars. Some go for like $120 a pound.
What?
Yeah, they're really good teas though. They're so
good.
They
better be good for
that. Oh, they're so freaking good. So anyways, I got like, first time I went there, I ended up buying like $100 worth of loose leaf tea. It's really good.
I want to start getting into the matcha green tea.
Oh, yeah. Those are good. I mean, they're not as complex, I feel like, as Taiwanese teas, as much as Taiwanese teas.
Okay.
I feel like there's so much more, I don't know, like little... subtle variations between the different types of teas.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the green tea is very much kind of like, I don't know. I feel like I kind of take it for granted because I kind of grew up on it.
Yeah.
Grew up with it. So, you know, I would just kind of end up making little packs of teas and just drinking it. And like, I mean, I taste a little bit of it. But yeah, I mean, it's good. What do you want to do with
it? You're just like, I just want to like drink it more because I heard it was good for you and I want to.
Yeah, but I feel
better
like.
At being good like how you were.
But the problem is that like, I mean, if you're okay with the bitter and like the pure tea taste, it's mm-hmm. really great for you. But like once you start, like these like people, like I saw on the Today Show, I think. They have like the green powder, you know, the green tea powder. But they put it on top of like a latte.
Yeah.
Or like
see,
they put
would,
it on top of like fucking
would,
ice cream.
I wouldn't
like,
do it. I would try to keep it like as pure as possible. Maybe add a little bit of honey if I needed to, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's acceptable. But it's like once you start putting it on ice cream sundae, Oh.
Yeah. It's yeah. It's a little bit unhealthy when you start doing that.
Isn't that America? You just take something that's really healthy
and turn it around.
Yeah, you just basically take that healthy portion and you put that on top of a large piece of Crisco.
Kale ice cream.
Yeah, kale ice cream on Crisco and
Nutella.
Yeah, Nutella.
People are loving Nutella, man. I'm seeing a lot of people posting about their Nutella.
Yeah, and they come in such huge jars now, like as big as your head.
The last time I had Nutella was actually with you, Candy, because it was on the I always mispronounce this. Crepes.
The creperie?
Yeah.
Yes, we went to the creperie because the one that we used to go to Springfield Mall shut down.
That was always such a great thing to see. That like we were there, we're like, doesn't this guy like Springfield Mall was closing, about to be renovated, and we would always go there. And you know, I don't even know why we'd go there, but there would always be that crepe place,
Joe, because it was really
and we,
sad.
Like, and we wanted to be sad.
Place.
We want let's go to the sad place. The
sad
house.
Mall is hilarious to walk through. And to be honest with you, we should have gone to the White Flint Mall when it was being like ransacked.
Yeah.
And you know where else you should go now? The sad mall is Manassas Mall.
Manassas Mall.
What is Manassas? Yeah. Have I been to Manassas Mall?
It's kind of sad, but they do have a bubble tea place in Manassas. They have a bubble tea place called Little Penguin. That's like the heart of the mall. That's like the best thing there.
When was the last time you went to the sad mall?
A couple weeks ago.
Was it pretty sad? Was it pretty deserted?
I didn't really walk around. I just went straight to the Little Penguin.
That's what we did. Like,
but yeah, I mean, it's just not the best. It's not as bad as Springfield Mall, like, because it's not on the verge of closing.
Mm-hmm. But back then, at least.
But it's just not anything that you can really say, like, reasons why it's good. Especially when there's other malls around the area that are much better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Manassas in general, it's a little not as glamorous as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, like, if you live near there, then, of course, make a trip to the mall. It's close to you, you know? But there's other places in Northern Virginia and D.C. to shop.
Yeah. I mean, I feel really bad about some of these malls. I mean, like, Springfield Mall, really, you know, they're just like, fuck it. We're just going to renovate the fuck out of our mall. And then they did it and, you know, it cost them oodles of money, but I feel like it was worth it.
That's where I bought my shoes.
Right?
The new renovated Springfield Mall.
I mean, like, you went there, you looked around and you're like, there's still plenty of retail space that hasn't been filled up. But like it looks great, and I feel like the visual, the presentation of it is attractive enough to entice more businesses to kind of come in.
I think it's come to a certain point now, Cooney, that I've walked around any mall with you more than like anyone else, like in like my whole like high school or even college period. At this
malls
point,
are really interesting to walk around.
We would literally eat something and we'd just walk around.
I know.
You can get good exercise walking around the mall.
Well, you have to
and
because
window
it's
shopping.
Like, the foods that we eat sometimes, we're just like, we gotta walk around for like an hour. We gotta do it. If we don't, I'll feel awful.
Now, have you ever done what Louis C.K. calls a bang bang?
What is that?
It's like when you go out to eat, and you eat as much as you can, but then you also go to another place right afterwards.
Didn't we try that one time? Or we were thinking about that? We would go like to Bombay all-you-can-eat Indian, and then go someplace else?
I think we tried doing that, and then we went, and then we were like, we can't go anywhere else. We're done.
I think I did a Slurpee Bang Bang one time.
In the Bang Bang episode of Louis C.K., they go from Indian food to diner food.
What? Diner
food.
That sounds like Indian I will have diner. Massive diarrhea, like 20 it's, minutes afterwards.
And then they talk about going to the gym and eating kale afterwards, but then they're just like, no, I'm going to be doing something else tomorrow.
Oh, Louis C.K.
I have other things to do.
He's the epitome of just self-loathing and just sadness. I love it.
I really love Louis, though. That's one of my favorite shows when
everybody
I watch it.
Everybody loves Louis.
Do they?
Yeah, for the most part.
Do you watch that show, Cooney?
What, Everybody Loves Louis?
Yeah, or Louis?
Didn't he have a sitcom on HBO?
Was it Everyone Loves Louis? I don't know.
No, that's Everyone Loves Raymond. I'm just confused.
Everyone loves Raymond.
Something Louis.
I think he just has Louis on FX, right?
No, he had an HBO show.
Yeah, he might have. I don't know if it was HBO. I don't know. But it was, you know better than me.
But it was a sitcom-y kind of thing, you know, with like a three-quarter set, and they would have the laugh track, I think. But the thing is that it was a sitcom that you can land F-bombs on.
Oh.
And I was going to say, when people curse, I was like, oh.
Oh. It's on HBO. Oh, that's crazy.
That was the whole reason of watching stuff on HBO with their shows. Like, wow, they're cursing. And there's a boob there.
I mean, in Comedy Central, you can land F-bombs now.
They should really? Have a boob that curses.
On South Park.
Like, move around the boob and, like, jiggle it. And it's like...
Fuck, 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 fuck.
I mean, on South Park, they've already landed a couple F-bombs already, so... just
like they landed it. They stuck the landing.
Yeah, it's an atomic bomb. It says F on it, and it just blows up. It says,
wow.
Maybe it's just, they did it such a subtle way that people were just like, yeah. Cooney, have you already bought your Star Wars tickets?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
When are you going to see it?
Friday at 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m.? Nice, man.
We went, but I got the tickets at Cine Bistro.
Oh, cool.
In Richmond, so.
You have to go down there?
Yep.
Nice.
But the good thing is,
you can get donuts down there.
Yes. But it's Cine Bistro, so it has the, whatchamacallit, the recliner. The leather recliner.
Nice.
And then they serve you the gourmet food, which is really good.
While the movie is playing?
Wait, tell me about this gourmet food.
They have like stuff like shrimp scampi and then a steak.
What?
Shrimp scampi.
How much is this?
It's pretty expensive, actually.
But see, like that.
Yeah,
that's
got to be over $20.
That would get distracting though if I was eating that while with the movie. You know what I mean? Does it get distracting?
You have to definitely order it like a couple minutes before the show starts.
So but even when the movie's playing, you can still sit and eat that or what?
You know, I don't think the eating, ordering, eating thing is as liberal as the Alamo.
Okay.
So it's not as like you can eat anytime you want.
Yeah.
You have to order at a certain time. You have to get your food at a certain time.
So it's a dinner and a show type deal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Precisely. And then, but the good thing, the other great thing is, I hate to say it, it's a movie essentially for children, right? Star Wars.
Sell toys.
For children.
Sell toys and posters?
Yeah.
Video games?
Yeah, sure. But it's, at that theater, it's what, 18 and over.
Oh, yeah.
Or 21 and over, I think.
So everyone there is going to be a kid. Watching Star Wars.
What?
Everyone there's going to be a kid watching Star Wars.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
What.
But we won't have kids at the Star
but
Wars.
But
yeah,
the old
have drunkards.
The old people will be kids.
Oh yeah, we'll be a kid.
A
at
kid
heart.
At heart.
Yeah, sure. Be old winos at heart.
Those are the ones I feel like are so vicious about Star Wars right now. The older ones, the wise ones. Apparently, not apparently, but they would be the ones that are.
Because they
looking
know.
Forward to it the most. They've invested so much time.
Yeah.
They already have their Stormtrooper outfit, or they already have their poster of Natalie Portman and stuff like that. They're ready.
That's creepy.
They might be coming to
that's
the
creepy.
Adult theater with their outfits and stuff.
Damn it.
Damn it.
I just wanted to enjoy my movie in
that's
peace.
That's why you buy all the tickets, Cooney.
That's why I have to dig into my savings. And pull out $10,000 so I can sell at the theater.
And then you sit there, no one's there except you. And when it's done, you're just like, again.
Or you could be like,
scream out again
because
again.
You bought the next screening too.
A horrible joke coming up, but now you could be like one of those that cancer guy that knew he was going to die but really wanted to watch it. And he watched it by himself.
Oh, that's so sad.
I'm glad that they let him do that.
Oh, that was the most heartbreaking thing ever.
You know what's heartbreaking? Is that I made like...
But then that's your way in to watch it by yourself.
But you know what's
before
the saddest
everyone
part?
Else.
He got to see it, but he died knowing that there were two more episodes that needed to be made to tell the story. So he got the ramp up, but he never got the payoff. And that makes me feel a little sad.
I mean, I think it's nice of the filmmakers to reach out to him.
I hope like J.J. Abrams just goes up to him and is like, okay, this is what happens in the other two movies. Just letting you know.
And what if he like wrote it down really quick before he died? And,
oh,
like,
man.
And then, he like emailed his friend it or something.
Oh, and then now he has the Holy Grail. He has the one piece of paper that could... You know, break them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That also happened with Up. There was like a kid that was going out, and I guess it was the Make-A-Wish or something, and she really wanted to see Up. Like, she was anticipating the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so she saw it with her mom, and apparently her mom, I don't think, knew what it was about or anything, and like, you know, that whole life message and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she died soon after seeing Up.
Oh, man, that's heartbreaking.
It is. We need to bring the spirits up on the show.
Oh, yeah.
What can you do, Cooney? What can you do to make us happy?
Tell us a joke, Cooney. Tell us a joke to make us happy.
Well, I mean, one of the highlights, I think, of the year was getting to go to AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Thanks a lot for the hookup, Joe. He gave me a spot on the panel.
What do you think? Should we do it again?
Yeah, I'll do it.
You want to do it again next year? I mean, you have a following.
If it'll give me a whatchamacallit, ticket.
Do you have something to screen?
No.
Do you have any one of your movies can screen there?
Why would I?
That shows you some confidence right there.
No.
So Awesome Con, you.
Why would I screen? No, not yours. Anything you've worked on, not a Cooney production, but.
No. But I feel like the movies that I tend to work on are very quiet and very contemplative. And
I still haven't seen the ending of that one.
Something Anything?
Something Anything.
Oh, man.
You're promoting that a lot. And then that was this year. That was 2015, too, as well,
that was,
right?
That was a good year for my promotion machine.
But remember you showed that to me on Vimeo, and then, like, my laptop, like, died before the last inventory. Oh. And then we're just like, oh, fuck it.
I know.
Don't go to the end.
Well, I mean, like, you can catch it on Netflix. Oh, you don't have Netflix.
No.
How could you be, like, the only man in Northern Virginia that does not have Netflix?
It's called being rebellious, Cooney.
It's $8 a month. Is it not? $8-$9 a month. You get to watch Jessica Jones. You get to watch Daredevil. You get to... Oh, no. You saw the whole Daredevil with me.
Yeah, you showed me Daredevil.
Oh, man, that was great.
Yeah, but see, it's really fun when people show
House
me stuff.
Cards. What else is really good? Master of None is pretty good, too.
I heard that was good.
Oh, it's really, really good.
If anything, I really don't... I don't have any of the television or stuff. Like, I don't have any of the things people tell me to subscribe to, actually.
I'm not saying that. I'm not, like, forcing you. I'm, like, putting you at a gunpoint and telling you.
Yeah, you are. You're holding a gun in your hand right now.
You're holding a finger gun.
Bang, bang, bang. Okay.
You're like, I'm a
so
blow your brains out.
You're things like this
I'm
right
a
now.
Blow your brains out if you don't get this. If you don't get
gun,
Netflix.
Gun talk. Oh, just to let you know,
guns are good. Bullets are bad.
They're trying to do, like, a TV shopping network devoted to guns.
Oh,
no. What type of guns? All guns?
All guns. For
all guns, all the time.
All the time. For your middle America needs.
Oh, goodness.
Only middle,
so,
middle
Cooney,
America.
Only middle America.
Let's get back to Awesome Con. So do you highly regard your experience at Awesome Con as one of your top moments of 2015?
That was a solid hour for you?
I don't know whether or not if it was a positive experience, but it was definitely like a
what?
Highlight.
Did you listen to it?
What?
Did you listen to it?
Oh, I'm not talking about, like, not just
how was it negative?
I'm not saying,
okay.
Like,
negative.
Just participating in the panel, but the whole experience of me getting off the metro, coming to the convention center, walking around that, looking at the people, looking at all the sights and sounds, all the costuming, and taking snapshots with my point and shoot, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very interesting experience.
Was that your first, like, big convention?
No, I've been to some couple of conventions. I used to I used to be, like, a huge anime freak.
Okay.
Back in high school, like, first year of college. So
did you do a typing motion?
What?
Did you just do a typing motion for high school?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like a doggy paddle. I'm just, like, waving my hand around just to kind of put, like, a, you know, like a bracketing over the period in which I was.
So, like, a parentheses hands.
Yeah, sure, why not? parentheses hands. But yeah, I went to a couple of conventions and to be honest with you,
which you always should be. Because how do I know if you're ever lying?
Like, as much as I enjoy watching anime, there was a part of me that just went like, well, this is very much a whole bunch of, like, nothing by the end of it. Because it's so singular and so specific.
Yeah.
You kind of get bored of it after, like, the second day.
Mm-hmm.
You go there for the first day and you're like, whatever. The second day, you're just like, okay, I've just gone through every single place, ran out of money, run out of things to watch, things to do. So, you know.
I mean, it's been very few. Like, it's been actually never that Carolyn and I have been to a convention just as, like,
attendees.
I don't even know what that is at this point.
That's why I want to know, like, what that experience is, just to see that, because I always see it from, like, behind the booth. I do get it out occasionally, but
I mean, like, from my perspective of a guy who's never been to, like, an actual comic book convention.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little weird. I mean, like, I went by myself, so there's not, like, a lot. I mean, my best friend, Bay, he was there participating.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of there, like, looking around, and he's been to a hell of a lot more conventions than I have. So So it's the first time I went there. I go in there by myself, and you go there and you feel a little bit alone because you're not really talking with anybody. And to be honest with you, I enjoy comic books and I enjoy like sci-fi stuff and I enjoy anime stuff, but I don't watch it and consume enough of it to call myself like a rabid fan.
Yeah, I feel the same way myself.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a casual watcher. Like I enjoy watching it and I would rather watch that than a lot of other things in this world.
Because there's like so many people that have like the fandoms, which is totally cool. Like there's like Harry Potter or like Doctor Who and Star Wars, Star Trek. Like they're all there.
I don't want to spend the amount of time and effort I would like spend to really get into that and to build costumes for it. Mm-hmm. It just seems a little frivolous for me.
Yeah, for you it doesn't work out, but for them, they'll spend like a whole year of their free time working on
some of
these
costumes.
Yeah,
they'll spend like a month's salary making like that Zelda shield, you know, the Link shield. And I'm like, oh man, I can't do any of that. So, but then you go in and then it's like, you kind of feel you just feel like this normie,
the normie town. Yeah.
You're like, I'm not as weird as I thought I was.
Yeah, but then it kind of makes you feel sad because you feel really ostracized from it.
Yeah, outsider. Like, outsider in the outside.
Yeah, yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, you're like,
I'm not a part of this.
You're the outsider. I'm like, I mean,
I came here to belong, and I still don't belong.
Personality wise, I'm too weird to hang out with like
normal people.
But like, and if I go in the weirdo circle, I'm too normal to hang out.
Wow,
with the
weirdos. You're in a tough predicament there.
I am in a tough predicament. I'm just kind of like, I just kind of wanna. You know, hang out.
You just want to chill. Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Are you familiar that they had actual speed dating at Comic-Con?
Yes, but I feel like I would be, like, too normal for them.
Is that something that you'd be interested in doing next year? Like, just to try it. You never know, because I feel like there's a lot of hookups that happen and people have gotten married from it and stuff. Like, I mean, maybe, I don't know, like, what, you know, each odds are for different shows, because now that's like at almost every show and I've heard good success stories about it.
I think that's
what I'm saying, like you might meet people there that, who knows, maybe they'll be at your same level of like, I'm not as geeky but I still like this stuff.
I hope so. Well, I mean, that's something I'll get into in a couple minutes, but let's finish out the awesome con scenario.
Okay,
so you go there and then there's fantastic artwork, and then there's some really interesting stuff like the the handmade Lego stuff, like the contraband, the black market Lego items, where they'll make like weird custom things, like the gay pride Lego set.
I didn't even see that.
Oh man, and since they've outlawed guns in Lego sets, people are making like a whole slew of different guns for Lego characters.
Maybe they can sell it on the 24-hour store.
Oh my god, that'd be great. $1,000 for a 24-karat Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Messed up.
That's what the world needs.
Yes. Yes. But then,
so did you purchase anything at AwesomeCon?
I did. I purchased some really, really cool little tiny, you know, like a 11, or is it 11 by 17?
Mm-hmm. Tiny?
Posters.
What?
Or like a medium-sized poster.
I mean, like comparatively, some of the posters I'm like surrounded with in right
now.
No,
I know what you mean, like a smaller poster.
Yeah, yeah. They're like medium-sized, nice little posters. Like the sad part is that I bought it, but I haven't unrolled it and put it into a frame yet.
See, that always happens when I buy anything at a convention sometimes. It's like, it's so great. And then like a year later,
at that moment, you're into it.
Well, then I get home and I'm like, oh, I got to buy a frame for this. Oh, I got to find a stud finder for this. Oh, I got to find a stud for this.
So much work.
And then you're like, oh, I'm sleepy. Oh, I'm already in bed.
Yeah, I can't deal with this.
It's the next day already.
The buying is easy. The figuring out where to place it, where to nail it, where to frame it, what frame to get. It just becomes a whole unending rolling cycle of decisions you have to make.
Yeah, and where are you gonna put it?
Yeah, you know? And my whole life, my whole job is just dependent on constant decisions that I have to make.
And I'm like, yeah.
And I'm like, and then you're like, I don't want to deal with it in my real life now.
Yeah, yeah, I don't deal with
I know what
this
you mean,
shit.
Though.
I actually feel the same exact way. There's so many decisions that have to be made, but like in the real world, I'm like, man, I already do this enough. Can I just not have to make a decision right now?
It sucks because the two of you in your life, you have to conjure stuff from scratch, and you have to be on like set every single day.
And I conjure stuff from scratch too.
Yeah, I know. And then on your free time, you have to make You had to conjure stuff from scratch.
We have to conjure a conversation from scratch.
I know. You know? It's just like, okay, well,
basically, my life is looking at like a white blur or whatever. Not even blur or whatever. I don't know. Just a white void. Like a white essence. And like, I just have to make stuff out of it. Like, do something with this white.
I know. And it's just like, well, maybe. Well, the frame is black. The picture is red. I guess it'll be really good. But then my
that's a good color
really
combination.
Like, then my white wall.
Did you say that's really Asian?
I said that's a good combination.
Oh, God. I thought you said that's
hey, are
really
you trying
Asian.
To pose me as racist? No.
Pose you as a racist?
But the one alarming thing I'm seeing is a lot of people who are pretty overweight.
At conventions
that are in that are wearing clothing and things way too tight for them.
Hmm.
Like, it's a little... I mean, I feel like to each his or her own, but it's like...
What do you think they're like delusional?
No, I feel like it's
maybe
like,
that's the biggest size that it comes in.
Oh, that's sad. No, these are homemade. These are homemade costumes.
I don't know. Maybe they gained weight. Maybe like, they ate too much donuts.
Well, you're like, man, you need to get your bra fitted. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just kind of like, is this cutting off your circulation? You got to just kind of chill out, man.
But, well, what did you think of the audience? Because, see, I didn't really get to walk around. Like, what was the breakdown? Were there, like, equal men to women? Or was it a lot of, like, comic book guys? Or what did you see? Like,
it was a little bit weird.
Because I saw a lot of women. I feel like I see a lot of women all the time now at comic shows. And it didn't necessarily used to be like that.
I don't know whether or not if they're, like, true fans or if they want to be, like, provocateur.
I feel like Alive is now as provocateur.
It's just like I do enjoy going to these.
They want to have cause fame.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little disheartening because you're hoping that it would be like an entire convention and the gathering of people who are like-minded and who enjoys, you know, sci-fi and comic books and anime and indie comics, you know, that kind of stuff. But it just feels like a lot of posturing and a lot of going there to get attention.
Yeah, I feel like definitely the comic shows now, it's like you have to be there just to make a presence.
And it's
which I understand.
It's sad because it's just
because
like,
it's the cool place to be, especially like a lot of the younger kids that I saw there that were like 18 to 24, I guess. Like a lot of them were just, you know, they're in their outfits and they're just taking pictures. They're not necessarily buying anything. And they're just there just to be there because it's the cool place to be.
But they're not there to look at new comic books or look at artwork or anything like that.
They're there to say that they were there.
Isn't that one of the things you found out is that like not many people are even buying comics and stuff?
I mean, I don't know, but I know the first year of Awesome Con like was amazing sales. Like everyone did pretty well. And I feel like DC was like hungering for a convention. But they have opened up the space, so now there's like a lot more competition and a lot more money to go around. You know, there's a lot more vendors, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think everything's been great, but you know, it does show how much people were hungering for the convention.
I do see. I do have to make one complaint about the vendors, not so much the quality of the work that's presented or the quality of the merchandise presented. But there is a repetition that I saw, like a pattern.
What was that?
I mean, like for, I go there and I go to the front of the exhibition. Where the exhibition is it called? The floor? I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, the expo hall.
Yeah, yeah, expo hall, convention floor.
Yeah.
And then first thing I would go, it's like, oh, I'll see like a swordsmith or a blacksmith like booth with knives and swords and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's really interesting. And then, it's like, oh, they have like the anime banners and stuff. Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. And then they have, some masks and busts of comic book action figures. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. And then I see the same ones. And I see the same ones.
Hmm.
And I see the same ones. Like for every five to six stores, booths, I see the same type of merchandise over and over
and over. So it's basically again. Like at the mall when you see the James Dean like charcoal portrait that like the artist drew, and then the other artist like down the hall, the other hallway has the same one.
I mean, at the end of the day, you want to, you know, appeal to the lowest common denominator or the widest catch in the net, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But at the same time, you would have you need to somehow be you know, away from the pack. You know, you need to individualize yourself.
Yeah, that's why we've always just been doing our own thing. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like,
we have all of our independent creations.
I mean, like, the works that I've seen that you guys do, especially the toast, is like, I've never seen anything like it in the other booths, and I'm like, oh, this is great. This is like your thing, and it's like, and then some of the stuff, like, I'm really digging it. Some of the stuff, I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. But like, I can never deny the fact that whenever I see your work, I know it's your work and it's no one else's.
And I feel fantastic. Like, in the long run, that's the most important thing, is to have your own identity.
Yeah, regardless of what people feel about it, I feel like having a sense of individuality, especially in today's marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ridiculous amount of people trying to make it in this world to be a comic book artist or comic book writer or any sort of like print. Or some sort of like a print artist.
Or even just to make comics to make that into a movie, I find that's almost like a cliche thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that little like that the using comics as like, this is just the jumping off point. We're really just trying to make this into a cartoon.
Is that really what people are trying to do nowadays?
Yeah, a lot of people do that. They're like, we're gonna make this into a movie. Like, even before two issues are out, you know?
How gonna make this a movie? It's like, where's the money coming from? Where is the funding coming from? Who is funding your project?
Really, one of the main people that I hear that really does that is Mark Millar, is the guy who created Kick-Ass. Because his...
Yeah, he landed on a honeypot, if there ever was one, right there.
He's with, what's his face?
20th Century Fox?
Oh, no, the other guy, the director, Brian...
Brian Vaughn?
Yeah, like pretty much everything. Yeah. In that, so like any movie he would make, it's almost already in the canon, ready to go into make, or any comic he makes is ready to be already optioned.
I mean, at the end of the day, people who are saying that they want to make a TV show or want to make a comic book or comic book adaptation or something, or they have to be on the in circle, they have to go through so many hoops and be in the know and ins with so many people, like at William Street or something like that. I mean, they have to take in a lot of meetings, and they have to find somebody who's willing to trust them, or a set of producers that's willing to work with them, and then they have to find a good way to fund it. And remember that Puppy Cat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got money to make more episodes. They got like $200,000 to make.
Was that crowdfunded?
It was crowdfunded,
mm-hmm.
But you know, she was originally an animator,
yeah,
or like a character design artist for like Adventure Time.
Yeah.
So she already knew the ins and outs of all the people who to contact, who to get in touch
with. A whole bunch of people
with.
Who worked on Adventure Time are doing their own stuff now, and they're just branching out. It's
basically
like anybody who worked on it, not anybody, but a lot of people that worked on Adventure Time, that they're branching out, and now they basically own like a large chunk of animation right now.
I mean, look at Adventure Time. My God, that thing is insane. You're just watching it and you're just going like, this is like watching a Picasso painting come to life.
Mm-hmm.
It's that insane. But anyways, I mean, like, AwesomeCon, there's a lack of diverse, you know, tastes, I think.
So you'd like to see more diversity. So it's not, you know, you can't keep on eating the same flavor over and over again.
You want to say something. I mean, it's big, and there's a lot of vendors, but the lack of interesting, unique things that are happening in it are a little bit disconcerting. So that might be the reason.
Yeah. Know? Well, the hard thing from our perspective, and I know we're not the only creators to go through this, but, you know, and I've talked with the organizer of AwesomeCon about this directly,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's, like, these vendors there, and that's fine if you're selling, you know, all these commemorative things based on the fandom that you're into, but there are some artists that, like, have up this big wall of prints that they have of, like, Wonder Woman, Batman, like, all these registered properties that they actually have never worked with. Like, it'll be one thing if, like, you actually worked on those projects, but they don't. It's like fan art.
Yeah, how does that work? Because I feel like that's kind of illegal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's stealing.
I mean, like, I'm like, these are great, like, posters and charcoal drawings, but I'm like, should they even be on the floor?
See, yeah, and
it's
I'm
like
not...
making money off of your recording of a cover song without getting the original artist's like permission.
Yeah, that also feels like ethically wrong for me personally.
Yeah, like I'm not in the game to be like, I'm just gonna draw Batman and Spider-Man because I want to, you know, like I'm more into doing my own thing like I've been always doing.
Yeah.
But it is hard because those people end up doing from what I see, very well at the show because people already know the characters. And then they're like, oh, man, I love Batman. That's like a cool approach on Batman, like a different style of Batman. I'm going to get that for my dorm room or whatever. But whereas like the indie creators that are making new, fresh stuff from their own blank wall, you know, their own white space, they have a harder time, getting that attention because no one knows their characters yet. And a lot of people are hesitant. I had several people, like, we did very well at New York Comic Con this year, but this was like a year where I kept hearing like, oh, this is so cool. I love this. Like, I never heard of it though. And then they just walk away and sometimes I'll get in a conversation with them and I'll tell them about it and stuff. But it was almost like and a lot of these were young, like teenagers or early 20s, you know, and it's almost like if their friend didn't tell them about it, if they don't know what Curls is, then they just like are like, I never heard of it, you know, I get. But I'm also like, people need to at least be a little bit more willing to try something new.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I was younger, when I was like 18 through early 20s, I was kind of a lemming and I kind of followed what other people followed.
Mm-hmm.
And I took.
I think what most people seem to do.
I mean, like, but now I'm like 31 and I don't give a fuck half the time.
I feel like if you like something...
You know
something?
Why? Because it's your money. That's why.
Yeah, I still give fucks, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm kind of into like what I'm into now.
Yeah, I got over like that type of... I've always just liked whatever I liked.
Yeah.
And I was never like, oh, I like this because Susan likes it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've always pretty much been like that.
But you grew the fuck up a lot earlier in life than other people did. And
I mean, there was a time in like eighth grade, I say like dressing-wise, like fashion-wise, like I feel like I was trying to like fit in with whatever was cool. But I was just done with it. I was like, I don't think any event really happened or anything, but I just came to a conclusion. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to wear whatever I like, you know, but I did go through a couple years where it was like that. But as far as liking something, like I've always just liked whatever I've liked, but I never needed like someone else, a friend approval to be like, this is what's cool. But
middle school and high school is a hard.
Yeah. I mean, you're finding yourself.
You're emotionally fragile. You're just kind of getting your shit together. And then you got some, you know, terrible people just yakking on the side. And you're just like, oh, fuck.
Do you think now it's harder that the kids are dealing with social media and the internet?
Oh, man. Kids nowadays are, I mean, like, I don't say they're more vicious, but I would say they have access to be more vicious. And they have the anonymity to be vicious without any sort of repercussion coming back to bite them in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that allows them to think of all sorts of sadistic things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's harmful. You have people who are not emotionally mature.
How'd you fix that, Cooney?
I don't know.
I have a solution.
Just punch them in the face.
Whoa.
One punch leads to more punches and you have a gang warfare.
So it should be like Cooney's like punching service. I'm like on a sidewall on the billboard. It's like, hey, if you need somebody who needs to get punched in the face, just hire me.
It's not even like a right hook or an uppercut. It's just like a straight, one of those toy boxers. Yeah. It's like bop.
Yeah. It's like, and then the guy is like 15 years old and he's crying. He's like, why is this happening? It's because you're an asshole.
And then
you acted like an asshole.
Then all you say is next.
Who's
so,
next?
So basically I'll just sit in the chair in the white room and then have the people come towards me.
And then they like someone has to like shove them in the room.
Oh yeah. I'll do
you,
that.
And you don't blink. There's no blink. He doesn't blink. He just has the half almost a smile.
Yeah.
And you just frozen and you're like, ah. You just punch.
Can I wear the rollerblade sneakers?
Sure,
so I just glide into from one side to the other. That'd be pretty awesome. But anyways, awesome con.
It was an experience that you enjoyed.
It was. It was an experience I enjoyed. I thought, I mean, I definitely took a lot out of it, and especially the panel was interesting, was informative.
Did you visit other panels besides the one that you
No, were? I mean, the panels, for the most part, they weren't really, I didn't really get anything out of it, to be honest with you. And to be honest with you, like, a lot of the other panels were really tailored for really specific things.
Like, you love the Ninja Turtles, or you love to see Star Trek or something like that. Or...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, even more specific, like, Star Trek fan fiction, how to write it accurately. And I'm like, I don't...
Then panels like that?
Yeah.
Did you see any...
how to do makeup for cosplay. That was one of them. Makeup for... Posing for cosplay.
Are you serious?
They had stuff like that.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Cooney, yeah, did you see any celebs that you were into?
You mean at the booth? Oh, another thing. That's the saddest thing I've seen.
the saddest thing that you've seen?
Another sad thing.
Another sad thing at the Awesome Con was the space. I know the reason why you told me, Joe, you had the space between the people who were signing, you know?
Yeah.
And also the exhibition booths. They were just like...
Yeah,
it's like a half a football field, the distance between the sign booths and the vendors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I understand. It's like, oh, it's for the big lines when it starts snaking and you need all that room. But like when it was the off hours, when it was the stars who played supporting characters in like Once Upon a Time or something, you know, they're just like a half a football field of distance between... the people who are attending and also the people, the guests.
And you have those moments of like, you know, because you can stand...
I feel a little sad when I saw that.
Because you can stand literally outside of where the line starts.
Yeah.
But if there's no one in between there, it's like you guys are just like looking at each other from a distance. You're like,
I know.
And then you can see... Like if I was a celebrity and I was thinking like, oh, he's going to go in the line. And then they just keep walking.
I know.
Like, oh.
I mean, like at the end of the day, I guess... you know, they're getting paid pretty well, or, you know, they're making some cash out of it. So I don't feel too bad about it, but it just seems like it's a lot of just sitting around waiting for people to get their attention. And I don't know, there was a touch of melancholy when I was at the Awesome Con, but it was nice. I mean, it was fun. It was interesting. I got to see some cool costumes. And you know what? They had a nice little kids section with how, like, these little, like, coloring games and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, timing, like, I'll draw a castle in 15 minutes. And then whoever wins a prize. I'm like, I like those little things. Like, when it was, like, I liked watching, you know, the younger kids do the activity stuff because it feels very untainted from the commercialism of the booths, you know? And then I enjoyed the fact that it was with families and they were really having a really fun time.
Yeah, I saw a lot of really good families.
Yeah, yeah. They were having a lot of fun time and they were weren't all about wearing the costume and posing with the costume or looking at that sword or looking at this sword because that sword is $300 cheaper than that sword, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I like seeing that kind of stuff. I'm hoping to, like, maybe a lot more. I don't know. I feel like there should be more activity-based stuff in Awesome Con.
AdventureCon?
AdventureCon.
I don't know. I mean, it really did feel like...
It's growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, it really feels like it's still going through growing pains. Like, it's still developing and maturing. And I'm kind of interested to see where it's going to go. I feel like it's a big place. It's a good venue. It's a big event.
Metro accessible.
Yeah, it's a big event, but I feel like it's getting a little bit harder because it's trying to distinguish itself from, you know, the other stuff, Baltimore Comic Con, New York Comic Con, and I'm kind of hoping to see.
Well, New York Comic Con is such a tough beast.
I know.
It's a beast. That's what that is. It's a planet.
But yeah. I'm just hoping to see like an evolution to something that's a little bit more different that will, you know, kind of really. Elevated and make it go like, oh, this is definitely a destination if you want to go for this and this and that.
They can have past presidents will be there.
I mean,
Obama can be at like a booth, the Clinton booth. Clinton booth.
I mean, it'd be really cool to see A-list people there, you know, like going to promote their movies or something, or promote Brian K. Vaughan's new comic book.
Yeah.
You know, like
Brian K. Vaughan's definitely at New York Comic Con. So.
I mean, like for him to come in and do like a seminar or a talk or something, you know, when you can get to that level, that's like the shit, I think. But it was really, really fun.
That's the one comic book you've been reading is Saga.
Oh my God. It's a good comic book series.
That thing is like taking all the awards.
Yeah.
It's really fucking weird, and people
cosplays the things in there, and I have no idea what they are.
The cosplays are awful that I've seen of the Saga characters. They're really, really bad. And the thing is that they're like normal people with horns.
Yeah,
you think
yeah.
you could do them accurately, but they have not. I mean, like I think it's gonna get there, and I'm hoping that it'll. You know, I hope it gets better, I think. Mm-hmm. It will, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta, right?
It gets better. That's what they say.
The goal is always to make the last show You know, well, the new show better than the last, right?
But you have an in with all the people who are like, you know, the founders of it and the organizer of it, and then I'm
like to feel like I have a hand in helping to promote this.
Yeah, but I hope that, you know, it gets better and it gets, you know, the thing is,
I mean, it's still a relatively young convention.
Yeah,
the fourth year.
The thing that going into that I'm almost worried about is that, like, it's such a precarious time.
Mm-hmm.
That it could always, you know, go south pretty quickly.
But conventions are, like, very popular right now. I feel like a lot of people, and I'm not saying everyone has to, like, read every comic, because I sure as hell don't, but, like, it's just, I feel like a lot of people, like I was saying earlier, are there for being present, and yeah. I don't think a lot of people read the books as much as you'd think, and it'd be interesting to try to see a way to get more comic books in people's hands. I don't know how you'd do that, because it seems like there's a lot going on, you know what I mean? Like,
with the digital
the costumes and everything. Like, that'd be cool, even if, like, if there was some type of digital download or something, just to, I don't know. I don't know how to solve this issue right now, but, I feel like people, like, the comic book shops are getting less readership, but the conventions are, like, massive. I feel like there's a dynamic
because they're like amusement parks
of a shift, you know? That, yeah. But how can you withstand those people to, like, try to get into the comics? You know, like, but those are potential people that could be fans. You know,
it's tough because comics are pretty much like a medium. You know, it's still stories, still characters.
But I have to say about comic book shops, there's always been a weird love-hate relationship with me and comic book shops. Because I go there and I want to look at some new stuff, and I want to kind of gauge people's attention. And some are really nice and some are really attentive, and then really go like, oh, have you read this? I mean, this seems like a pretty cool comic book. I think you might enjoy it. That's kind of fashionable. It's kind of new. It's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'll read it. And I'm like, oh, this is great. It worked out really well. But then you go there and sometimes people are, you know, have this really...
pretentiousness about it?
Pretentiousness in the elitist... kind of.
Oh, you didn't read issue 15, or you're not reading this right now?
Yeah, I think it's like, becoming less though.
Sometimes, yeah. But it's still pretty prevalent.
I don't know.
It's
one of those things when you love something so much, and no one's down with it yet, and then you feel like offended that they're not reading it. You know, it's sort of like, well, you should be reading it.
or like it's their thing. It's their baby. It's like they want to share it with the world, but if they don't like it exactly the way you like it, then you take offense to that.
Yeah. It's a similar thing with, like, bands and music and movies in a way too.
I mean, like,
it's a vicious cycle.
I'm a movie snob, and then, like, sometimes I get that feeling too, like, oh, you don't like that movie, why don't you like that movie?
And then you judge them.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, I'm a little bit of an equal opportunity hater.
You're like they only like Boxcar Bertha, fuck them.
I don't like Boxcar Bertha.
What do you think of people that like The Notebook?
Which one, the movie or the book?
The movie.
I actually think it was an okay movie.
I liked it.
Yeah. I watched the movie and just go, hey, Ryan Gosling, you're not a bad actor. And Rachel McAdams, you two have really good chemistry. And the ending is heartbreaking.
Cooney, where can the world find you? Social media, anything. You got a new website.
www.cooneytaraoe.com. And then you can also find me on the Instagrams. I don't go on the Twitters ever.
What do you have against Twitter? Real quick.
I hate Twitter.
Okay. Joe likes Twitter.
I do? I don't like anything.
I like Twitter. I'm on Twitter.
If it's anything that's been proven in the past marathon of shows, that Joe likes nothing and no one likes Joe.
That's so dark. I love it.
2015's getting dark.
2015 fucked me hard. It's all right.
What?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end on that.
Wow.
Into
the darkness.
This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Don't forget to check out my new website, too, joecarabeo.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. And also, my band is having a show this Friday at Epicure. Not my band, but the band I'm part of. Monday Mistress. Check them out. 8 o'clock. We go on at 9. Carolyn, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. We have that sale going on at carolynbilevsky.com/store. Type in the coupon code HOLIDAY15 for 15% off all the orders until the end of the year. It should be really exciting. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram, at Carolyn Bilewski. You'll find me. We're around.
That's right. So, CarolynJoeShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and from my house to your house, everyone, happy, crazy, Cooney Christmas. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch y'all later. Let them know, Carolyn.
And let them know, Cooney.
Hey,
have
bye.
Have a merry, happy Cooney Christmas.
Happy holidays, everybody.